Finding Christ in Cinema and the Great Commission Transmission Network is made possible by the support of listeners like you. To learn more and to partner with us, visit us at gctnetwork.com/donate. On this episode of Finding Christ in Cinema, we shoot the last arrow at the Capitol as we look for Christian themes in Hunger Games: Mockingjay Part 2. How is the character of Katniss Everdeen similar to the character of God? How is PETA's love for Katniss like Christ's love for the church? All that and more in 3, 2, 1. Come on in, admission is free. Grab a bowl of popcorn, extra butter, of course, and find a seat smack dab in the middle. It's time for Finding Christ in Cinema, episode number 106. I'm Michael.
And I'm Brendan.
Join us, and together we'll dig deeper into the silver screen classics of yesteryear, as well as the box office hits of today. We'll take a closer look at the stories they tell and see if we find the face of Jesus looking back. We're going to explore the deeper meanings of these films, their plots and their twists, the characters and their choices, and how we can relate them to the gospel of salvation, and ultimately our Christian walk. You're tuned in to Finding Christ in Cinema on the GCT Network.
This is your Great Commission transmission.
Brendan, we're something's wrong.
I'll tell you what's wrong, Michael.
What's that?
I'm cranky.
You're cranky? Why are you cranky?
Because I have hot sauce in my pocket.
That's a good thing.
That exploded.
Whoa, that's not a good thing.
No, sir.
What? Is there a story behind this?
No, this kid at lunch today, you know, at the new job that I'm so happy to have.
Mr. Taylor,
that's right. This kid, it was Taco Thursday.
Tuesday.
No. Today's Thursday.
Have they never seen the Lego movie?
I doubt they have.
The Craggle?
They have no clue what that is. At least the lunch ladies don't, because they made tacos today.
They need to listen to Finding Christ in Cinema, because we talked about that movie.
Oh, I know.
Okay.
I know. You don't have to remind me.
Ah.
However, the taco sauce, or the hot sauce that was supposed to go on the tacos,
yes,
came on little packets.
Uh-huh.
And
Taco Bell.
And who got to walk around the cafeteria with scissors and opening those packets?
You?
Yes,
you didn't
course.
Run with those scissors.
Oh, no, sir. That would be too weird. Ow. But now I'm not complaining about that. I'm just complaining about there was one kid who left his sauce packet on the table, and I wasn't thinking about it. I put it in my pocket, and there was still sauce in it. And I moved my leg a certain way, and it just all squeezed out into my pocket.
So you are in a surly mood.
I'm ticked.
You know why I'm in a bad mood?
Why?
Because we're not live right now in the studio. Oh. We tell people you're living.
Oh.
We tell people at the end of each show that we're live in the studio each Thursday, Lord willing, at around 4 p.m. Eastern time.
And it's just not happening today.
Not happening today, because at last minute, the last thing that we do before we go live, we turn on our video streamer,
mm-hmm.
and I switch it to the proper camera, I switch it to the proper audio, so it gets all of our sound inputs. Well, lo and behold, my USB port is not showing up in Ustream. So, frantically, I go over to another website that does video streaming. There's several of them. And to give this a try, and lo and behold, my USB port is not showing up there either. Now, it's showing up in my system preferences. Everything's fine. I don't know what happened, but it just, something's not right.
There's a ghost in the shell.
The kids are not happy.
No, I wouldn't be either.
Okay, let's get this going. What did we talk about last week?
Oh, last week. Thank goodness we took some lighter fare.
Yes.
With Zootopia.
Oh, it was a wonderful film.
Yes.
What kind of Christian themes did we find in there? How Christians should behave?
How Christians should literally be the light of the world. And how part of being that light of the world is healing people with gracious words.
Wonderful examples from that film. We encourage you, if you have not listened to that episode, you've seen Zootopia. We know that you have.
We hope you have.
Yes. If you haven't, rectify that. Get over to christincinema.com and look up, FCC number 105, finding Christian themes in Zootopia.
And whatever you do, please don't be like Michael and read the one-star reviews on IMDb.
Did you have anything that you needed to correct or add or addendums, afterthoughts? Oh, and another thing.
Well, not necessarily about that movie, yeah. But something as I thought about as I was re-listening to the episode on the way here today. We look at these movies with the hopes that you guys as our audience will just reevaluate how you disciple.
Yes.
And evangelize and tell people about the good news. Because, you know, Michael, what is the good news is that even though we deserve to be paid with death for our sins, we've been given eternal life through Jesus Christ.
Yes.
That's the good news. That's what is so awesome.
Yeah.
And we got to go out and share it. We got to pursue. We can't be locked up in Bunny Burrow.
Right.
We can't think Zootopia is just a cage. We have to go out and meet the people where they are, which that's going to be more on my topic here in this film later on. So I just want to reiterate, and that's not just for Zootopia. That's for every film we do.
Absolutely. So watch movies through Christian lenses and see how you can use them as tools in order to spread the gospel and to further the borders of the kingdom. In fact, Brendan, I'm going to admonish folks at the end of my discussion today.
Admonish?
Yes, or encourage, I should say.
Okay.
That's a better word. I'm going to encourage just along the lines of what you were just talking about. So, friends, you know, and I listened to it as I was editing it last week. Actually, editing consists of finding the timestamps. Okay?
Right.
I tack on the intro music, and I tack on the outro music, and then I get the timestamps so that we can post them on the website. And I had some things, I should have clarified this, or maybe I should have said that better, but I think what you just added says it all, and we have some feedback coming up later on the show where we get some different perspective from some of our listeners, so stay tuned for that a little bit later on in this very episode. But Brendan, what are we talking about this episode?
Well, just when I was ready for some lighter fare,
yes,
we get into The Hunger Games.
Oh!
Mockingjay Part 2.
Yes, we are going to finish up another series, and
this is a good habit, you know, to finish the series that we start.
I think really you should just go follow things through to completion.
Sure.
And I'm so glad.
And fulfill them to the end.
There you go. You ready to go to the movies?
Yes, sir.
Here we go.
Nothing good is safe while Snow's alive.
I've been watching you, and you watching me. My dear Miss Everdeen, make no mistake, the game is coming to its end.
For the first time in our lifetimes, we're standing together with 13 districts. Our future starts tomorrow at dawn, when we march together into the Capitol. To slow our advance, President Snow is building a minefield of traps. The sadistic inventions of game makers meant to make sport of our deaths.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the 76th Hunger Games.
One way or another, this war is going to come to an end.
We got one shot.
Let's make it count.
If you end all of this, all those deaths, they mean something.
Tonight, turn your weapons to the Capitol. To Snow.
Wow. This past week was the first time that I've watched this film. Did you see it in the theater?
I did.
Okay, and what were your first impressions?
I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I did. I love dystopian stories.
Yes,
anyway.
Yes.
I'm just prone to like those types of stories.
Predisposed.
Yes, thank you. And I love this series. Again, I haven't read the books. Scratch that. I've read 1 and 2. I have not read Mockingjay. But from what I hear, this film was a very good adaptation.
Yes.
And I just love the film. I love the way it looks. I love the performances. We might talk a little bit about that here in a second.
No, maybe we won't.
No, we won't.
I didn't realize that you were so wrong on.
Okay. Well, like I said, regarding one performance, I'll just have to rewatch.
Wow.
And just regather my opinion before we talk about it.
All right, continue on.
Oh, no, that was it.
I
was overall just pleased.
I wanted to see this in the theater. Something happened, and it just wasn't gonna happen. And so, I'll wait till it comes out on Blu-ray or digital download. And still missed it. I don't know why. But so a couple of weeks ago, my wife and my oldest daughter, they wanted to have a movie night of their own, and they got a copy on Amazon, the extended edition. Oh my goodness, it's like 7 hours of this digital download.
What?
You know what I did?
Of this movie?
Well, it has the movie, then it has the director's commentary. Full-length movie, and then it has all the special features after that.
Oh, wow.
And I did watch a lot of the director's commentary, and I've never done that before. Because I always...
How was that?
It got some really neat information that maybe I'll be able to sprinkle here and there. But it reminded me how awesome this series is. This series, and, you know, I'm not like you, Brendan. I don't like to rank things, but I'm going to take a little...
Oh, really?
I'm going to take a little bit of an exception here. Star Wars, Lord of the Rings, Harry Potter, Hunger Games.
Oh.
So rank is right four. Up there. Well, not necessarily... I'm not ranking. I'm just saying that these are
the
top...
Oh, that's just a general casting of the net.
The Escalon.
Yes.
Escalon. Yes. Way up there. Love this series. Love the way that it resolved at the end. The twist. I didn't see that coming at all. Oh, should we?
Had you read the story?
No. Dear listener, okay. Not yet. Dear listener, if you have not watched The Hunger Games Mockingjay Part 2, stop the podcast now. We'll still be here.
We will not go anywhere, trust me.
Exactly. We'll be stuck in time, as a matter of fact. Then come back and resume with us, because there's going to be some spoilers like this one right now. President Coin?
Coin, yep.
I didn't see that coming.
I remember in theater. I didn't either. And I remember when that happened, the moment was already tense.
Yes.
Because I'm not going to lie to you. I like President Snow as a character.
Yes.
And I especially liked Donald Sutherland portraying President Snow.
Oh, goodness. He is a master.
And I always love a good villain.
Yeah.
I always love a good villain.
That was a good villain.
And yes. And whenever Katniss... She's got that aim, and rewatching it this time, and I watched it. You can watch back on it too. She never technically looks at President Snow. Her eyes always drift upward.
Oh,
to President Coin. Her eyes do, not her whole face.
Yes,
but her eyes do. Her eyes are always just a little bit over Snow.
Okay,
which is where Coin is.
Yes.
And I just remember in the theaters, I saw that, and I had to like lean back and just, oh, okay, so this is going nowhere where I thought it was going.
Yeah.
But then it made sense, because Coin had become what Snow was being executed for.
Yes.
And it just made perfect sense. I just didn't see it coming. And it was so great.
Okay, so now I have to, I'm going to read the books. We're going to get the audio versions from Audible, not a sponsor.
Narrated by Suzanne Collins herself. Is that true?
No.
That'd be so cool.
But anyway, so they rank way up there. This, I don't even know. Well, okay, let's just start giving some shout outs. Cause
Philip Seymour Hoffman. Oh, we got to talk about him.
Why, sir? Why did you kill yourself?
I don't. But now, was not the very minute digital editing of him in the film toward the end of it, that very minute scene, wasn't that just tastefully done?
Yeah, I thought so. Absolutely.
The way
now, obviously, they had to rewrite the scene to where it was a letter.
Yeah, it was
him.
A letter.
But it makes more sense that way.
Yeah.
Hey, I can't be around any of this right now. it just, to me, it worked better. And I got to say that Woody Harrelson is a fantastic actor.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, in, I mean, he's done great throughout the whole series, but there's something about this particular movie that really strikes me. And that's one of the places.
I think in this one, we just see more of how he knows how to handle Katniss now. Whereas maybe definitely in the first one, he kind of didn't really know what to do with it. But he still helped her in the game in the arena.
Yeah.
So that was, I mean, that
but
was
now
so good.
He's got her number. He knows how she operates. Yeah. She knows her MO. Mm-hmm. He knows her MO and
her super objective.
Oh, yes.
One might say.
Yeah. But does he really know? I mean, does anybody truly understand what a noble person she is? Mm. You know who does?
Who?
PETA.
Oh.
Yeah. The feels in this movie. Yeah. The feels. Well, okay, before we go on, more shout outs. And speaking of PETA, Josh Hutcherson.
Hutcherson, yeah.
Especially
hijacked PETA.
Exactly. And one of the things that I learned in the director's commentary is that that first time we see him with Prim coming in and talking, apparently Josh was very nervous about that scene. Wanted to make sure that he got it right, but he also got himself real worked up in order to pull that off. And he was just real nervous. Am I going to be able to do this? This is heavy duty stuff.
Well, Mr. Hutcherson, you were foaming at the mouth. So I would say you did a pretty good job.
And of course, we chalk that up to the fact that he was homeschooled.
Really?
Yes.
All right.
Makes sense?
Yeah.
Anyway, so, you know what, Josh, you get this. Or your parents do. wonderful acting.
Yes.
Wonderful.
What about old Liam?
Yes. Thor's little brother.
Thor Jr.
Yes. He's good. As Gail, obviously, mm-hmm. Gail Hawthorne. He's a great actor.
Yeah.
Those Hemsworth boys, there's a third one, too.
them old Hemsworth boys.
I don't know anything about the third guy.
I know there was a little shtick on SNL one time, and all three of them showed up.
Oh, okay.
It was quite funny.
But Thor and Gale, good acting chops. What did you like about Liam? As Gale?
As Gale, yeah. Just the way he played the twist with that character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Playing a twist properly with a character, a turn with a character, is not an easy job.
Do you have to know ahead of time?
I would say so. Kind of like
Snape.
Thank you. I was about to say, kind of like Alan Rickman
with
Snape. Thankfully, J.K. Rowling was there to tell him from the very start, from the very onset.
Here's your super objective. I mean, that's really what they would say, isn't it, to the actor? You have a super objective. This is what it actually is. It appears that it's this, but it's not. It's actually this.
You have to play it. I mean, well, it just depends. Okay, let's break down some character interactions.
Gather around, children.
when a character enters a scene, their super objective is based on the other people in that scene.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
So, for instance, on that very first day when Snape enters the classroom, getting back to Harry Potter for the example, when Snape enters the classroom with
the penultimate example that we can always go to, isn't it, with Snape when it comes to super objective.
Okay. Pretty much.
Okay.
I wouldn't even say penultimate. I would say ultimate.
Okay.
That's just me. Unless you got one more that's better.
I don't know.
Okay.
I just like to leave, room.
That's true. But when Snape enters that classroom with Harry in it, his super objective is to love Harry.
Yeah.
Is to protect Harry. It is based in Harry. Harry is another character. That's where his super objective is based from.
Got it.
Katniss's, and I think we've been hitting a streak here lately where the super objective of the protagonist in these films has been to protect.
Yeah.
We've been hitting that streak because we've got Harry Potter.
Isn't that what Jesus does?
We've got Bruce Wayne.
Yes.
He's a family man. Who else is a family man? Well, a family person, a family woman. Katniss Everdeen.
Yes.
She wants to protect. She wants to protect her people, not only her family, but the whole everything that's not the capital. She doesn't really care much for the capital right now. And who can blame her?
Wow. Wow. And so much so that in lieu of her being able to personally step in and protect, she will recruit others to mm-hmm. step in mm-hmm. as a protector, such as Gale mm-hmm. Hawthorne. Mm-hmm. And
thank you for bringing that train around back to where we started from. With Liam Hemsworth playing Gale.
Yeah.
His super objective is just a little bit more aggressive and a little bit not so wary of the lives that are at stake.
Yes.
Especially with that bombing.
Collateral damage is no problem.
Is no problem.
Yeah, right.
And that's not necessarily a super objective, but that's a price he's willing to pay.
Yes. For his super objective.
For his super objective, yes. Collateral damage is no problem.
Yeah.
And...
Yep.
Unfortunately, that just does not fly well with Kat.
No.
But we've seen it. We saw it in the very beginning of this film when he's planning the attack with, I can't think of his name, the guy in the wheelchair.
Oh, Beatty.
Beatty, yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. When he's planning the attacks with Beatty.
Yes.
We can see right there from the get-go that collateral damage is no problem for him.
Yeah.
So
dirty pool is A-OK.
It should be no surprise then. However, it is because of the relationship he has with Katniss.
Right.
So.
Right.
Oh, and wow. and for Liam Hemsworth to pull that off, good for you, sir.
Yes. I want to give a shout out to Jenna Malone.
Of course you do.
As Johanna Mason.
Mm-hmm.
I think that... Personally, and I was shown how I was wrong earlier before we went live. Oh, we're not live.
Oh, no,
today.
Don't say that.
Before the microphone.
Don't say that. No, I didn't do anything.
I think that is her, how do I say this? Her acting abilities, her ability to employ character ticks, I mean, to the max, is a cut above the average bear, as Yogi Bear would say. And just a pleasure to watch and to listen to, really to watch as she's talking, just the way that she moves her body as that character, as Johanna Mason. I'm only familiar with Jenna Malone in these two installments of the Hunger Games. And then, of course, we go back a couple of episodes to Batman versus Superman, Dawn of Justice, Ultimate Edition. And her character was completely cut out from the
theatrical cut.
Yes.
She was the theatrical cut, and they cut her from the theatrical cut. Her and about good 30 minutes of Kahina, but
yes.
That's on that episode.
Well, but her character helped... explain what Lois Lane was actually doing in this movie, you know? And so, and of course I immediately recognized her. How do I know this person? And then when it dawned on me, Hunger Games. Anyway,
Michael,
really
I did not say
her.
You, I did not say you were wrong.
Oh,
I did not.
How about, oh, here we go. What was the character that I wanted to talk about? And I need to expand my cast here on the IMDb page in order to get down to what was this character's name?
Stanley
Commander
Tucci?
Paler.
Oh yeah,
played by Patina Miller. Oh wow, that was some fancy acting.
One might even say Tony Award winning.
Yeah, somebody might. So this is a stage actress. And Brendan, we were talking a little bit before the mics went hot about the difference between stage actors and just your regular run-of-the-mill garden variety television and movie actors.
Screen actors.
Yes. And there is a big difference between the two. And many times when you have somebody that is a capable stage actor, performer, they really shine when they're on screen.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think that, I mean, what can that we chalk that up to?
I think several different things. I think, one, the presence of a live audience, that background.
Yeah.
also the habit, and I'll call it a habit, of rehearsal.
Ah.
Because like we were talking about, some movie actors, some screen actors are just fed lines right before they're filmed.
Yes.
And there's no time for rehearsal, for exploration of the line itself and how it relates to the character,
yeah.
how it relates to the
character
story.
Character study.
Yeah, there's just in film the actors don't I'm going to stop myself right there.
Okay.
I'm not saying that all screen actors are like this. I would say that it is my opinion that a lot of them do not put in that background work, that rehearsal time to get these characters.
I'm thinking of the word discipline.
Yes. A lot of them, my opinion, just from what I see, they're not that disciplined.
It really is two different things, isn't mm-hmm. it? A stage actor and a screen actor. Mm-hmm. Two different things. Hmm. But now we can go back and take a look at somebody. Now, for example, you know, this lady, she's young. Well, you know, relatively speaking, she's young. But you can go and then look at somebody such as Donald Sutherland, who is a seasoned screen actor.
Yes.
And you can see his craft. I love the, you know, that word craft, or if we were ancient Greeks, we would say his art, because anything that you do is art.
His technique.
Yeah. Is really born of being, well, he was born in 1935 and he's been on, you know, acting probably since day one. You can really see that he is a disciplined actor. And I really just enjoy sitting and watching these characters and what the characters do, which, of course, you taught us all was we relegate that to character tics.
Sure.
Now, remember when you came back from school and you were talking about that? The Chekhov. Okay, so are these guys are going down a list and being able to check off.
That's not what that means.
Okay, so refresh our memory and how, I mean, do any of these people, would you say that they employ that technique or?
Oh, I don't know. Here's one thing I can say for certainty is that you can never really tell what someone's technique is while they're in performance.
Oh, okay.
Because the way I've come to understand it, there's one desired performance. There are several different paths to getting there, several different techniques to use to get there.
Okay.
So just for me, you can't really tell by watching a performance, because a character could do several different things
in order to achieve.
Excuse me, an actor or an actress could do several different things to achieve that desired result.
So really, they would start from the end, say, "This is what the character is like. How do I get there?" And we can't see how they do that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Good. Anything else? Any other shout outs that we need to give?
Well, you know who we haven't even talked about?
Who haven't?
Jennifer Lawrence.
Yes, well,
for carrying the series.
Yeah,
she is the Mockingjay.
Okay, did you know that those two children that played her children at the very end
are her children?
No,
oh,
but they are her nephews.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay,
that was neat. Oh, hey, here's a little bit of trivia. You want some trivia?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Okay, Jenna Malone.
Oh, here we go.
They had her scheduled for a total of, I believe it was 10 days, 10 shooting days. And
please tell me they kept her on longer.
The director said, "I didn't have the heart to ask her to keep her head shaved for a year, you know, because it was over, you know, that coaster, that's not going to stay there. Just ignore it." Okay. A little behind the scenes action going on here, friends. Nothing to see here. So he said, you know, over the course of a year, I didn't have the heart to ask her to keep her head shaved. And so it was actually a body double.
When?
Yeah. They would, whenever her head, her bald head wasn't her noggin. I mean, it was her face.
What?
Yeah. They, the digital technology is amazing. Yeah.
Really?
Yep. It was a body double just for her baldness. That was somebody else's skull. How's that?
Wow.
Hey, there's a scene, one of the main scenes, the planning stage with, and... You know, I love this guy. I think he's a great actor, but I just can't do his name any justice. So as I'm scrolling down here, I don't want to even attempt.
What character?
Well, Boggs. Mahershala.
Oh.
Mahershala Ali. Okay, I did it. I know him from the 4400. Yeah, that TV series.
Oh.
The 4400. That's all I know him from, but I love this guy. Anyway, the big planning scene where he has the hologram thing of the city, blah, blah, blah. They had to reshoot that, or his parts.
Oh.
So that they could, they said, well, you know what? We weren't given a good enough explanation. They wanted to make sure that we as the audience realized that their group is miles behind the soldiers. You know, he made that clear, right? Hey, yeah. We're not up on the front line. We are hanging back. They wanted to make sure that that was absolutely clear. So they had to go in and refilm him doing those. And then they just put him, superimposed him into the scenes that they had already filmed.
See, I never.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, it's seamless.
Technology is something else.
Wonderful stuff. So shout out to the CGI folks over there. Elizabeth Banks, of course.
Oh, yes, of course.
And last but not least, well, what about Primrose? Willow Shields.
Yeah.
I mean, we've seen her grow up on camera and that. And sweet, you know, character. And
now we've seen her at the Capitol Gate.
Yeah.
Working as a nurse when they drop.
Medic. Yep.
All right. As a medic, yeah, sorry.
Brendan, were you able to find any Christian themes in this film?
I think I found something.
Okay.
Just a little bit something. Just something that I think can help us understand God's character.
Oh.
When we look at Katniss's character. Because Katniss, like I said, her super objective is to protect her family. Is to protect those whom she loves.
Yeah.
And she has a certain way of doing that, a certain tactic, if you will. She doesn't do it from afar. She wants to be on the front lines.
Yes.
She wants to be with her family who are on the front lines, who are advancing the borders of the rebellion, the kingdom, whatever noun you want to throw in there. She wants to be there with them. In their midst. She doesn't want to rest on any laurels. She doesn't want to, you know, let the small people do the small jobs.
She's not going to let everybody else put their lives on the line and for her sit back and watch.
Yeah. She's got to be out there with him, with them. And to me, that's the way God is. And that's the way he wants us to be.
Hmm.
So let's listen from the very first of the film. After she's had this horrible encounter, seeing PETA still hijacked, lashing out at her sister Prim, she makes a beeline to Plutarch and President Coin.
Snow has to pay for what he's done. I want to help the rebels in any way I can.
It's hard to see PETA this way.
That's not PETA. Send me to the Capitol. I'll do anything.
I can't. I can't send you there. We can't get into the Capitol until we control District 2.
Then send me to 2. You want me to fire up our troops? Call out to the loyalists. You've seen what I can do.
Yes, I have.
Okay, first of all, right there, we forgot to shout out James Newton Howard, the composer.
Yep.
Because that subtle music cue, now that we've talked about the twist with President Coin, was that not eerie? As if President Coin was withholding information.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Look at musical cues working, y'all. Oh, I just love that subtle little, and the voice that came in. I love that. I just love it. Katniss wants to help any way she can. And she wants to serve anyhow that she can. She says, look, send me to the Capitol. Well, I can't do that, says President Coin. Whatever her motives are, she just says no. So Katniss goes for the next best thing. She wants to go to District 2. And we see what happens to District 2. she gets shot.
Yeah.
She gets...
it was a great encounter with that guy that had the gun.
With the guy? Yeah. He says, give me one reason I shouldn't shoot you. And she says, I can't.
Yeah.
And then, of course, she explains to them all that the common denominator for their ills is President Snow.
Yeah. We're like, slaves to him.
Yeah. And she said, look, District 12, District 2, we're not enemies. Yeah. Our enemy is Snow. And she rallies them together. And that's one of her gifts.
Yeah.
That's just one of her gifts. One of the gifts of the Mockingjay, to gather her loved ones like a hen gathers. Oh, sorry. That's moving on. But now she has to go back because she knows the job isn't done. In fact, her job, Katniss's job, will not be done until Snow is dead. And she's still got to get into the Capitol. However, she's got this wound that's holding her back. And Plutarch and Coin don't think it's the best idea for her to get back out.
I think the only thing left to say is thank you.
I need to be in the Capitol.
No, you have done your job. You've been very successful as the Mockingjay. You've unified the districts. And now we want you to rest and to heal.
The last the Rebel saw me, I was lying on the ground.
Katniss, we won't let this momentum go to waste. We'll shoot more propos right here at 13, showing them that you're alive.
I should be with the troops.
It'll be like being on the front line.
As far as the soldiers know, you survived a bullet to the heart. I think they'll understand why you're not with them. When we win this war, we'll fly you in for the surrender. We'll need you for the ceremony. You're very valuable to us.
I'll do whatever you need me to do.
Now, see, again, props to Katniss, because I think in this moment, she actually does trust Plutarch. We know she trusts Plutarch. And I think in this moment, she does trust Snow. As misplaced as that trust might turn out to be, as we've already talked about. So she says, you know, I'll do whatever you need me to do. And if that right now, if that's to stay here and rest and get better and heal, then that's what I'll do. But then she goes to the wedding of Finnick O'Dare and, oh, I can't think of her character name, dadgummit. It starts with an A, I think.
Annie.
Yes. Annie.
Get your gun.
No.
Oh.
No. Anyway, Finnick and Annie's wedding. And she's staring at the love and the joy that's happening.
And the great Appalachian-style dancing, group dancing.
And the folk music.
Yes.
Oh, that fiddle. That's not a violin. That is a fiddle.
Yep.
Let's be honest.
The way the good Lord intended it.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Yes, sir. She sees this.
We're from Tennessee, y'all.
And then she has this revelation. And luckily, she gets the chance to express it to her good friend, Jenna Malone.
Yes.
Whose character's name is...
Johanna.
Johanna. Thank you. And, well, let's just listen.
You saw Peter, didn't you? Did you tell him hi for me? We're old friends, you know. We had adjoining cells in the Capitol. We're very familiar with each other's screams.
I'm going to kill Snow. Nothing good is safe while he's alive. And I can't make another speech about it. No more cameras. No more propos. No more games. He needs to see my eyes when I kill him.
Now you're talking.
Find a way to the Capitol when everybody's looking the other way.
I hear the medics talking. They're shipping supplies to the front line from Hangar 2 around midnight tonight. Medicine, painkillers. I was going to go steal some for myself, but I guess I could just stay here and cover for you. Anybody can kill anybody, Katniss, even a president. You just have to be willing to sacrifice yourself.
That's fantastic acting!
I knew you would say that.
Man!
And I agree with you. when she starts saying, "Now you're talking."
Yeah.
But before that, it's here we are. Mm. Nothing good is safe while he's alive. And I'm going to choose to believe that it's at this wedding and it's at this moment of seeing this joy and this love and this goodness.
Life.
Yes.
The very pristine image of life at its best.
Yes.
It's this.
It's simplest. Moment.
Yes.
Boiled down to brass tacks,
to
man.
Its essence.
Yes.
Essentially life.
Yeah.
I think it's a self-help book. But it's not until Katniss sees this when she decides, I still got to take care of Snow. Yes, she may have been convinced by Coin and Plutarch to stay and rest up and get her strength back. But when she sees this, she has the realization,
this is worth saving.
Mm-hmm, because she says, nothing good is safe while he's alive.
Yeah.
This thing that is good
is not safe.
This wedding that is good is not safe while he's alive.
Yeah.
And that's, for me, that's the moment. When she does what Katniss always does, she rises up to the occasion.
Yeah, well,
and there's even
lifted up. That was my point. The last installment, Mockingjay Part One. She's lifted up.
Yes, sir.
Yep, like that serpent on a pole. And when you look at her, you are healed. This is the healing taking place.
That's right.
Oh man, keep going.
All right. I guess my point is kind of twofold. I'll go ahead and knock out the first part of it right now. Katniss Everdeen. Like the psalmist says in his song to the sons of Korah, God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. That's from the NILT, Psalm 46, verse 1. Other translations use an ever-present help in time of trouble. Katniss is always there, and she's going to be on the front line, just like our God is always on the front line. And let's just deliberate on that. Talking about the mission field, talking about people's hearts who are maybe in the process of turning over to the kingdom, who maybe have not started that process. It doesn't matter. God is still there somehow.
Amen.
So what should that do to our fear? It should eradicate it because God's already there. Yep. Soapbox over. hey. But then there's this other part that, thankfully, Johanna points out, and wonderfully so, by Jenna Malone.
You know what? What you just said really struck me as the difference between Katniss and Thor's little brother.
Gale?
Yeah. That's the difference.
Oh, go on.
Because it's easier to just declare war on everybody, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Us, it's a we they siege mentality. Us versus them. That's what we talked about a little bit last episode in Zootopia. That's Gale's MO. That is how many Christians react and interact. But Katniss is different. No, I don't have that kind of fear. I'm going to the source. And it's different. There is a big difference there in their modus operandi.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's something to dwell on, listeners, as you're watching this. That's free. Okay, that has nothing to do with what Brendan and I were bringing to the table today.
Yeah, that was on the spot, baby.
Yeah,
yes, sir.
See those two characters as two kinds of Christian, and which is more in line with
which ones like. Stu and Bonnie Hopps.
Yeah.
And which one's like Judy Hopps?
Yeah. Yeah.
We must be thinking very hardly on these subjects because we keep seeing them in the movies.
They're important things and they are apropos to, they're timely. Let's just say that.
They are
very timely for where we are in this day and age.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then there's that other part, like I said, that Johanna brings up. You must be willing to sacrifice yourself. And that's why I specifically brought up that passage about the hen.
Yeah.
And that's Matthew 23, verse 27, this time out of the NLT again.
New Living Translation for new listeners.
Yes. Yes, thank you. Oh, Jerusalem. This is Jesus speaking, by the way, if we didn't know that. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones God's messengers. How often have I wanted to gather your children together as a hen protects her chicks beneath her wings, but you wouldn't let me. That specific longing that Jesus is speaking about, I think we've talked about this on the show before. I can't tell you which episode, but it alludes to a little bit of farmyard wisdom that if there's this terrible fire or terrible calamity that's approaching on the farm, that's near and coming soon, if it's coming and the mother hen sees it, she will gather her chicks under her wing, and when that calamity is past, more often than not, you will see a dead hen, but under the wings, you will see the live chicks.
Oh, preach it, brother.
Wow. That type of longing that Katniss has is very similar to the longing that Jesus had for God's own people.
I am willing to sacrifice myself.
I am.
Is what Katniss says, and is what Jesus says.
Mm-hmm.
I am willing.
And then, Michael, as we keep saying on the show, as Jesus for the Jews, so the church for the world.
Thank you, N.T. Wright.
Yes, sir. Every time. It's this sentiment that we need to grasp onto for our mindset as we go out proclaiming the good news, as we've already said, even though we deserve to be paid with death for the sins that we've committed, for this transgression that we've made against God.
Yeah.
God himself has extended eternal life to us on the covenant founded by his son.
Amen.
So.
Amen.
Well, that's my point.
That's a great point.
Sticking to it.
For a great film series. Books, films, multimedia extravaganza. All right. In and out real quick, Brendan. A new heaven and a new earth? Or, PETA, love your Katniss just as Christ loved the church. Oh, goodness. That's PETA.
That sounds like Ephesians.
PETA. PETA becomes sin,
yeah,
and gives up his life for his bride, Katniss. How? Well, in the quarter quell, for the 75th Hunger Games, remember every 25 years, every quarter of a mm-hmm. century, mm-hmm. they have this special thing where they pull out, they have special stuff.
Back to the victors,
yeah,
who had already won.
Well, that's how Katniss got pulled back in the first installment of this. But in that Hunger Games, the 75th Hunger Games, PETA and Johanna and somebody else were taken hostage by the Capitol. While, remember when Katniss pulls the arrow and shoots the dome over the mm-hmm. arena?
And the whole place comes crumbling down.
Yes, and so Katniss and Finnick and Beatty were rescued by District 13 rebels. At the same time that PETA gets, well, I mean, he gets
hijacked
in a bad way.
By that, they do a hijacker venom.
They do a number on PETA.
Yeah.
And President Snow, you know, he's got it in for PETA because he knows that's how to get to Katniss.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. It kind of resembles Jesus being made to be sin, right? As Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 5:21. He's taking the wrath of the Capitol. That's what PETA was doing. President Snow, just like I said, he did a number on PETA that he didn't do on Johanna. She thought she had it bad. Or, as Isaiah said, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows in chapter 23. This reminds me, you know, seeing PETA in that hospital room and strapped in that bed all gaunt, and that's more CGI, and they sent it to a company and they just
really,
you know, just said, well, just shave all this stuff off of them, you know.
Wait, what scene are you talking about?
When PETA's
when we see PETA in the beginning?
Yeah.
I thought that was just makeup.
No. Nope.
CGI. Michael, you are ruining my illusion of this movie.
No, that's the magic. CGI, it's all magic. But it reminds me, looking at him, it reminds me of Psalm 22, verse 6 out of the nearly King James Version. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised by the people. What is PETA going through? Oh, man, these nightmares and things, and he can't control what's real, what's not real.
He even has to ask.
Yeah. On that in a little bit.
Real or not real.
And it reminds me, it's just horrid. It's horrific. And it just paints a picture in my head of Jesus becoming sin. He became sin on our behalf. What does that mean? Well, I don't know exactly, but it seems to look something like this. And so that's what I'm going to do. We're going to look at PETA in this film and just make some parallels to Jesus. And I think it'll just be a neat way for people to a thought experiment so that you can share, hopefully the story of Jesus with your friends and loved ones as you are sitting on your,
double-decker couch.
Yeah, there it is. Thank you, Chris. All right. Here's the thing, though, is that even though as PETA is starting to come around and starting to see that, hey, I don't know what I'm seeing is actually reality. I need some help here. But he still wants to suffer on Katniss's behalf. As they're in the city, they're in the Capitol, right? And they're having to dodge these pods and terrible things are coming with black pudding or what was that stuff?
I have no idea.
Whatever it was, it wasn't good, and you didn't want it touching you.
No. Were the wires that came out, were they in that?
I don't know.
That was weird. It was
weird.
Yeah.
All I know is that President Snow spent a lot of money to booby-trap that place. That took a fat amount of cash. Okay. So they end up in the heart of the Capitol, and they're in this Tiger Lady's house basement. I don't know why there's a tiger lady, but her name is Tigress.
Tigress.
Which makes sense.
Hey.
Right?
Well, she was a stylist in the games.
Okay. And they're making their next plans. Well, PETA says, hey, it seemed to me that he wanted to act as a decoy, didn't he? He just said, hey, let me go out and I'll draw fire away from you, is basically what it comes down to, right? I'll draw the fire away from you.
Stay alive.
Oops, not that one.
Katniss, let me come with you, okay? I can be a good distraction. They know
no,
my fate.
I'm not losing you again. You'll be safer with us.
What if Peacekeepers are searching houses? And if he's captured?
Then give me a nightlock pill, okay? I'm not going back.
No matter what, I'm not going back to President Snow. But let me go out there and act as a decoy. That implies I'll draw fire away from you. No, we can't let you. Well, then give me one of those pills. Those cyanide pills or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going back. Well, after thinking about it for a couple of seconds, then Katniss comes over and unlooses his cuffs.
Stay alive.
If I see you again, it's going to be a different world.
Oh. If I see you again, it's going to be a different world. That reminds me of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 3, out of the New Living Translation, the NILT. Jesus says, when everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am. It's going to be a new world. If we meet again, it's going to be a new world.
A new
heaven.
Age.
Yeah, new heavens and a new earth. And as the story unfolds, the catharsis happens, the climax happens. PETA does come back.
PETA.
Hey.
I came home.
Yeah.
found these over by the edge of the forest. It's a primrose.
And remember, this episode, I'm doing something different. I'm not weaving together a narrative. I'm just pulling out things from PETA's story that reminds me of incidences in the life of Jesus and his ministry and his ongoing kingship. If I see you again, it's going to be a different world. That's a promise. That's what Jesus promised. When everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am. PETA, you came back. Yeah. And then he has this other special gift. I brought this for you. Found it in the edge of the forest. This is primrose. That's how much he loves Katniss.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. There's another story where Jesus, you came back. This is like the third time that he appears to the disciples after his resurrection. John chapter 21, verses 15 through 17. Let's read this out of the KEB. The Amish
hey.
English Bible.
Hey.
When they finished eating, Jesus asked Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" Oh.
"You love me. Real or not real?"
"Real."
Simon replied, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." Jesus asked a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Simon replied, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." Jesus said to him, "Take care of my sheep." He asked a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was sad that Jesus asked him a third time, "Do you love me?" He replied, "Lord, you know everything. You know I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." "You love me, Katniss? You love me. Real or not real?" "Real." Why does Katniss love PETA so much? Earlier in the film, there's a conversation between PETA and Gale. Oh, when I knew. Because I'm watching the movie and loving it so much. Wait a second, I forgot to start to pay attention, right? I forgot to pay attention to the story for Christian themes. But when I heard this, tell me this is not Jesus talking about Katniss between the two men that love her.
"Katniss, let me come with you, okay?"
Whoops, wrong.
"The way she kissed you in the Quarter Quell. She never kissed me like that. I'm just part of the show, you know. No, you won her over. You gave up everything for her."
"It's just part of the show." "No, you won her over. You gave her everything." Oh, Brendan, I was going to go back in the archives and just rip off stuff from when we talked about The Princess Bride. Oh.
Way back when.
And the Song of Solomon.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that is a picture. Traditionally, we say in the church that the Song of Solomon is a picture of the love between Jesus and his bride.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Some people take umbrage with that. Who cares? Okay? It makes for a good story, doesn't it?
Dolores Umbridge?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
With the kittens meowing. But we have a parallel to that in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 through 30 out of the New Living Translation. Paul says to the Ephesians, or to whoever this letter was to, remember, it doesn't say Ephesians there in the first verse. This is, anyway, that was, "For husbands," I can get sidetracked real easily. "For husbands, this means love your wives just as Christ loved the church He gave up his life for her to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. He did this to present her to himself as a glorious church without a spot or wrinkle or any other blemish. Instead, she will be holy and without fault. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as they love their own bodies. For a man who loves his wife actually shows love for himself. No one hates his own body, but feeds and cares for it, just as Christ cares for the church, and we are members of his body. You won her over. You gave her everything. That's the example that we're given. And that's what Paul points out to us, and that is what our key text tells us. John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35 out of the NET, the New English Translation. Jesus says, I give you a new commandment to love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. Everyone will know by this that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. How did PETA win over Katniss? He gave her everything. Lacking in nothing is what that means. And Paul tells us what that is. That Christ loved the church. He gave up his life for her. Let's do this. For PETA, this means love, Katniss, just as Christ loved the church. He gave up his life for her to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. He did this to present her to himself as a glorious church without a spot or wrinkle or any other blemish. Instead, she will be holy and without fault. In the same way, PETA ought to love Katniss as he loves his own body. For a man who loves his wife actually shows love for himself. No one hates his own body, but feeds and cares for it just as Christ cares for the church, and we are members of his body. What can we learn from PETA and his love for Katniss? Gail told us the key to the whole thing. You gave her everything. All the way back to burning that bread so that his mom would say, throw it to the pigs. Mm-hmm. You could throw it to Katniss because she was hungry, because she needed it. What can we as Christians learn from this, Brendan? When Jesus says, I give you a new commandment to love one another, just as I have loved you, you are to love one another. In what way? He gave himself. Gave everything. I wonder if sometimes we, as Christians here in 21st century America, we downplay what that really means. I think I do. In fact, I know that I do. I think we need to get serious about being followers of Christ. Do you disagree with that?
No.
I wonder if the state of the union, the state of the world, I wonder if it would be a different place if Christians took those instructions more serious. It's neat when you can watch a movie and see those principles in action. That's why we do Finding Christ in Cinema, because it's so easy to sit down and point these things out in a movie, whether you're watching Harry Potter or you're watching Zootopia or you're watching Mockingjay Part 2 and say, look at these. There's analogs of this in the Bible. And that's all I just did was run down a list of analogs. I didn't stream together a narrative. You don't have to do that. You can say, see this, it reminds me. It points to these scriptures that are really convicting to me personally. And that way you can sit, actually, when you're sitting on your, come on.
Double-decker couch.
with your friend or loved one that is not a Christian, you can use this opportunity to turn to them and say, I have to apologize to you. Why? What about? I've been negligent in my Christian duty. I haven't been acting like a good Christian. Well, what do you mean? I don't see you stealing or killing people or cheating on your spouse or anything. No. I've been neglecting my duty because I haven't been loving you. I haven't been loving those around me. I'm too interested in talking about politics. I'm too interested in talking about the media and, you know, how the world is going to hell in a handbasket without doing anything about it. I have to apologize to you because I am not behaving the way that Jesus asked me to behave. So forgive me. That in and of itself may open up the door of opportunity. That may loosen up that soil.
Mm-hmm.
For what, Brendan? Why would we want to loosen up the soil of a non-believer?
So it could better receive the seed of the kingdom. That seed of the good news.
It's just, here's a catchphrase in the American church. It's been weighing heavy on my heart, Brendan, that we, and I include myself in that, we, as the body of Christ, we are neglecting the commandments of Christ. Neglecting them for lesser matters. We want to nitpick, and we want to point out flaws, and we want to isolate ourselves, and we want to do everything that we can to not perform. But because Christ did what he said, hey, when everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me. The things that he did, I am a worm and no man, a reproach of man and despised by the people. It pleased God to crush him. The chastisement that was due to us, he laid it on Christ's back. And then we don't love him back. I think that the more that we can focus on what Christians are really supposed to be doing on this show, I think that we will be better following the commands of Jesus. Let's remind each other, Christians, what it means to obey the commands of Christ, to love one another. In what way? Just as I have loved you. Well, what does that mean? He gave up his life for the church to make her holy and clean. Brendan, do you have any questions, comments, piggybacks, editorials, off-the-wall remarks?
Say la.
A pregnant pause. Dear listeners, what Christian themes did you find in Mockingjay Part 2? And if you haven't watched that movie, shame on you. Wow. Great examples. Great analogs from the Bible. That's what it's about. That's when we do. Let's lay them side by side and see how they compare, right? Similitudes, parables.
Oh.
Powerful tools these movies are. Hey, I was Yoda.
Powerful tools these movies are. All right, well.
Let us know what Christian themes you found in The Hunger Games Mockingjay Part 2. Brendan, do we have any feedback? We do!
Do we ever.
As a matter of fact, we have a voicemail from John Wilkerson over there at WiredHomeschool.com.
Michael and Brendan, John Wilkerson here. I have been remiss in sending feedback since you came back on the air. Welcome back. Glad to have you back. Can't wait for the Lord of the Rings podcast to come out, but I needed to mention something about the last episode with the Zootopia review and some of the negative reviews where they were talking about political agenda and brainwashing and blah, blah, blah. Let's say that is all in the film. Let's just assume that it's there. Well, we need to be able to show our children examples of this so that they can identify it when they are watching other shows. Because it's there. It's probably there subtly because people's worldviews come out in everything. And our children, and we as adults as well, need to be able to identify it. So even whether it's there blatantly or whether it's an undertone, it's important that we know how to identify these kinds of things in the media that we consume. Keep up the great work, guys. Loving the comeback. God bless. Bye.
Great comments. Do you have any response?
Oh, no, I agree with them.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's important to remember that even our own opinions stem from our unique individual worldview.
Yep.
And it's, it's okay to be different like that, but what's more important is that we're unified by Christ and Him crucified.
Yep.
And then now, you know, just like C.S. Lewis said, we believe in Christianity not because we can see it like the sun, but wait, hold on. I flubbed that quote.
Would you like a mulligan?
Please. We believe in Christianity like we see the sun, not because we see it, but because by it
we see everything else.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's important when we're instructing others, discipling, guiding, directing, you know, however you want to say it. It's important to remember that not everyone shares that worldview.
Yeah.
And not everyone's going to have the same worldview as us, you know, Christian. Even if they are fellow Christians, it's still not going to be the exact same worldview. And I agree with him. It's very important to point out, you know, differences.
I've used this quote before. You did a quote. I'm going to do a quote. Hank Hanegraaff of Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man radio program. In this is a paraphrase, says, we need to be so familiar with the truth that when a counterfeit looms over the horizon, we can spot it right away.
Yeah.
Okay. And so we need to know the truth. We don't need to know what agendas are and, you know, oh, is this propaganda? And that is, no, we just need to know the truth so that we can instruct our children in that. And there's also, you have to be careful and do that gently, right? Hey, they just said this, and it seems to me that they're leading us in this particular direction, this line of thought, and I don't agree with that because I think their premise is off. That's just good discipleship in and of itself. I mean, that goes back to, Deuteronomy chapter 6, fathers, you know, speak of these things with your children, you know, speaking of the law, when you rise up in the morning, when you walk, you know, together during the day, when you sit down. Be familiar with the truth. And of course, I'm sure John would want us to go back to Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 and 9, right? Finally, brethren, this is the Nearly King James Version. Whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, Paul says, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Great instruction. Thank you, John, for that feedback. Everybody get over to wiredhomeschool.com and strugglingforpurpose.com. What else? Do we have anything else?
Oh,
of course.
Who goes there? It is I.
Great Scott!
No, it is not. And it's not
These
even...
These are dark times.
Not dark times at all. These are bright, wonderful, glorious times.
Oh, that's fun to say.
No.
I thought she was talking in tongues or something.
As patron Saint Philip takes us down to King Philip's stables of doom. He left a comment on the last episode, Zootopia, Light of the World, Finding Christ in Cinema, episode number 105. You can hear that at christincinema.com.
He says, "Hey guys, fun episode. Zootopia is an interesting film to me. I really enjoyed it, but it didn't connect with me to the point of loving it."
Okay.
And Philip, that is okay.
I don't know that I actually love it.
I love it, and I still love you.
See, he's fulfilling the command of Christ. James says that you're doing well.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
No, I'm doing well. No, I'm doing good. I'm doing good.
I'm doing well.
Yes. Back to the feedback. I think that's because...
Part three.
I think this was because it wore its themes on its sleeve a bit too much for my taste. However, I appreciate the value in this. It had a message of not prejudging people, forgiveness, and second chances. And by wearing those messages on its sleeve, it made it more accessible to children and widened its audience. And it managed to do so while still being fun and entertaining for people like me who like a little more subtlety.
Yeah. Well, he's an adult.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
I mean, but the great teaching opportunity for children because it's overt.
Well, you know how your mother and I are so happy? We gave up on our dreams and we settled.
We settled.
To me,
complacency.
I will say, Philip, and I agree with you. I see where you're coming from. But to me, some of the blatantness and the bluntedness of it, to me, that adds to the comedy.
Yeah.
Because people usually are subtle. People don't say it like that, except when you're Stu and Bonnie Hopps.
Yep.
Not Hunt. Hopps.
Yes.
Hopps. So to me, the blatantness of it was very funny.
Right.
I knew it was just working its own little thing, but I understand where you're coming from.
Yeah.
Back to the feedback. I like the platonic relationship as well. I so dislike the American obsession of pairing up characters and the compulsory making out on screen.
Ugh!
Great job again. Love the show, guys. Hashtag MoviLad Gimlet.
Yeah, great thoughts, as always, from P.S. Philip. That's Patron Saint Philip.
Mm-hmm. And guess where else we get to go today?
Where'd we get to go? Oh, yeah!
Life isn't some cartoon musical where you sing a little song and your insipid dreams magically come true.
Yes, they do when you go down to Potatoes Red Oak Treehouse. Let's see, he left a comment on Zootopia, Light of the World, Finding Christ in Cinema, episode number 105. Again, you can hear that at christincinema.com. Says, "Greetings, dear friends. What a joyous surprise you prepared for us last week. I totally missed the effect Judy had on her parents." Yeah. "As you stated, changes, real lasting changes, usually take us a long time to make. I would add to that, best start changing today. Hey, no time like the present, right, Brendan?" That was an interjection on my own. Sorry.
Oh, hey.
It is also a matter of faith to trust in the Lord to do a work in other people's lives. Amen, brother. As you said, you may never see the harvest, but our job here is to sow seed. Some of the great vineyards I skipped a whole line. But our job here is to sow seed, which is something I think you guys are doing a great job of.
Well, thanks, Ron.
I hope so. I think of some of the great vineyards and orchards that were planted many years ago, and I think, as I plant my own trees, who will sit in their shade and eat the fruit of them? Due time, as the scripture says, might not even be in our lifetimes. When I think of grandchildren and even more descendants, it just makes me want to plant more. How much more should we be zealous for our Father's kingdom?
Man.
Great thoughts from a farmer.
Yeah. Yeah, for real.
Yep. Did I mention that you guys did a great job? Well, thank you. As Brendan says, the feels got hold of me, and now I want to watch it again. My youngest daughter and I quoted lines from Zootopia to each other for weeks after we saw it last time. I can't wait to hear more of your sound clips from it, too. P.S. I have shared Brendan's jokes with my coworkers. They asked me to stop.
No!
Of course they did.
Why would they do that? Quiche!
He says, I even adopted the practice of saying quiche!
Quiche! Yes!
When I see the guys at work. I love those jokes, so keep them coming. No, do not encourage him. Run!
No!
Great job, guys, again, and God bless. Sign.
Potatoes.
Patron Saint Ron.
It was tied to an anvil.
And I thought my jokes were bad.
I thought you liked comedians.
No. Any other feedback?
No, I think that's it.
Well-mannered frivolity.
Okay, Brendan, I don't have much because I did catch up on posting all of the FCC episodes to the GCTnetwork.com site. So now we are all caught up over there. Both sites, and so now I have time to do other stuff, and I have many an idea of brewing. I've got a lot of ideas, but I think first and foremost, we'll work on. I need to get to work on the Tolkien show.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's all I've been doing this past week.
Hey.
I mean, I had those things. I had them scheduled to post. Like every 4 hours.
I noticed.
It just boom, 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 boom. Caught up. What I did do was because it had been so long, I didn't cross-post our Christmas episodes. And so maybe what I'll do is double up, you know, come this Christmas, this Lord year. Willing.
Yeah.
You know, or we can run those as reruns or something. Or we can do mix and matches and whatever. Well, we do have to do another episode of...
It's a Christmas life. A Christmas Carol.
A Christmas Carol. Yeah. Yeah. So,
well, which version do you think we should do this year? The Muppets.
Muppets.
Yeah. With Michael Caine.
FCC's Michael Caine.
Michael Caine. When you want to sound like Michael Caine, you make your voice sound like it's at the top of the stairs, and then you work your way down.
Great Cockney accent there. Anything? What's going on with you? Anything?
Nothing really.
No,
I had
frivolity.
I had an eventful weekend. I got to be the sound guy at a wedding.
Good. What, like sound effects? We're going.
Not yep. like that. I played the music.
Oh, the music, okay. I'm sorry.
Which is oddly.
I went to a wedding last weekend. I went to a wedding.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah. Hey.
Boy, that was a fiasco.
I was just gonna say it's very hard to run sound when you don't have a visual monitor to tell you which track you're on. And you play the wrong song, which is supposed to be the bride song, and
Oh no. Oh.
But it's okay as far as I know. I'm still in good graces with the happily married couple.
And that is good news. Lightning round. I don't know. I just wanted to share with folks that are, you know, talking about the Tolkien show. That is a priority here. I already have the reconfigured the studio so that Micah has a microphone and a place to sit in here, shoehorn him in here with us. I mentioned a couple of weeks ago that I talked to my friend John DiBartolo of the Lonely Mountain Band, and he gave us permission to use any of his music for our podcast, and that's what you're hearing behind me right now. The Lonely Mountain Band from 2011. This is an album called Second Breakfast, and it is all Hobbit-inspired songs. He's done 3 albums with the Lonely Mountain Band, and each one of them are themed. And this is the second one. And the third one is all dwarf theme. Dwarven songs and themes and whatnot. But this one is really good. I want you to listen to the rest of this track here. It is called An Unexpected Journey, once again, by the Lonely Mountain Band. Starring John DiBartolo. Mm-hmm. Oh, Brendan, that just makes me think that I'm in the Shire, sitting outside my hobbit hole or getting ready to go on a grand adventure. And that's what the Tolkien podcast is going to be. Well, we haven't announced the name yet. We're playing those cards close to our chest.
It's, it's just not something you share
commonly.
No. Some might even keep it it's just something you don't share.
Yes, you don't share that. So once again, that's the Lonely Mountain Band.
At least not flippantly.
That's definitely the Lonely Mountain Band.
Oh, yes, of course. We can share them all we like.
And get over to minstrelsongs.com if you want to hear more, and you can purchase albums and songs and tracks and such. John D. Bartolo, he does most of the instrumentation himself, then pulls in friends from other bands that he is in and music scene and things such as that. You know what? He records most of these Lonely Mountain Band albums on portable digital recorders, just like what I'm using here to record this show.
One that was brandished unto us by Patron Sam Phillips?
Yes!
Yes.
Provided for.
The good old Tascam.
I used to work with John D. Bartolo at a fantasy network, social networking. I ran the radio station over there. We used to do a bunch of shows over there and interview some great people, but that just gives you a little bit of taste of what to look forward to in the show. It's going to be like Finding Christ in cinema on steroids, because it's going to be multimedia, and we're going to have video game sounds, and we're going to have audiobook, and we're going to have clips from the films, and we're going to have...
From the Tolkien professor.
Yes, and we're going... What? Tolkien? I can't clip from... Corey, I can talk to him.
But, okay.
Also, music and that good stuff. But the music is going to be provided by the Lonely Mountain Band. So
sure.
Yeah. Sure. Sure.
Sure.
I don't know. That song reminds me of autumn is coming up soon, hopefully, in just a little over a month. And yeah. That's what I don't know. Just geeking
it
out.
It just gets you in the right.
We
spirit.
Need an artist to help us with the cover art for the Tolkien podcast. And now that I have some free time, I have an email that I need to shoot out to one guy, and we'll see what happens there. But if you know of anybody that would be interested in helping out there, let us know. And that was the longest lightning round that I have ever done. Do you have anything?
I do.
You do?
Yeah. Listening. I didn't at the beginning of the show, but listening to that, it reminded me of something again on YouTube.
Uh-huh.
A YouTube pick, if you will.
Uh-huh.
And I must be on a Jim Croce's stint, because it's another song of his, except this time it's performed by Seth Avitt of the Avitt Brothers, which is a band I can't recommend enough.
Okay.
Avitt Brothers, Seth Avitt, and the bassist for that band, the stand-up bassist for that band.
That's shocking.
Bob Crawford.
Uh-huh.
And they perform Jim Croce's Operator.
Okay.
Which that's one of my favorite songs by him. And with Seth Avitt and Rob Crawford, to me, it's just a win-win in all sides.
You'll put the link to that in the show notes?
Oh, the link is in the show notes.
You know what I've been thinking about all this past week since the last lightning round was, how did Jim get into the bottle in order to start saving time? What kind of time do you save by getting in a bottle? Get in a bottle. Save time. What? If I could save time in a bottle...
I don't think that's how this works.
Brendan, what's coming up on Finding Christ in Cinema?
Oh, next week. Okay, guys. We're just going to level with you. We can't find anything new that we want to do.
Which we should be covering recent films.
Yeah, and there's just nothing that we've seen. Now, granted, we want to do The Witch.
Yeah.
But we want to save that for... Halloween.
And that was actually a request from the youth minister at the congregation that we attend.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to save that for Halloween, as Brendan just said. But we're going through lists. There's nothing. We feel that on Finding Christ in Cinema, to get the most impact for the kingdom, we should be talking about current films that people are, that there's buzz around, that people are talking about.
Like Deadpool.
We can't cover that.
Like Keanu.
Never heard of that. Keanu Reeves?
No,
Dunia, Matrix.
No, the cat with Key and Peele. See, exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The Boss with Melissa McCarthy. These are all popular films, except we just don't we're not drawn to them.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Would you say that our lack of drawnness to them is the lack of the spirit guiding us to them? Would you say that?
Yeah, I would say that's how I personally feel. Paul wanted to go, the spirit blocked him. I wanted to come visit you sooner, but the spirit said no.
Yeah.
We wanted to watch those movies. Really, really, we did. But the spirit said no.
Yeah.
We wanted to watch Deadpool.
Really?
I don't think so.
I would say a former self would have wanted to watch Deadpool.
We're throwing it out. Listeners, what do you want us to cover? What do you think would have the best impact? Not just because you love the movie, but is people are talking about that will be useful for the kingdom. Let us know.
And we're reaching back to Patron Saint Philip Presents.
What?
The list! And
we went back in the archives.
I think we found something that will certainly tide us over.
What?
Gladiator.
Oh, yes, sir.
With FCC's very own.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Cash for the merchandise.
Keesh.
It was tied to an anvil.
Is Music Man on the list? Can we just throw us a bone?
You just want, well, let's do that after Gladiator.
If nobody gives,
if nobody, okay.
Actually,
and that's in the archive, I think, too.
Well, that's because I.
How long have we had the Pickle Little Ladies?
Who, these girls right here? Pickle little talk, cheek cheek cheek, talk a
lot. Oh man! When's the last time we did a musical? Was it Les Mis?
Yeah.
Oh wait, no, White Christmas. That counts as a musical.
I'm dreaming. It does.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Sisters. So then. So definitely set in stone, you know, Lord Welling is Gladiator.
Right.
And if no one's really just feeling the pull toward anything, like Michael said, that we could actually look at to help further the kingdom,
then we're going to scratch our own itch.
We're just going to do the Music Man.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Hey, you know what? John Wilkerson... Bridge Over River Kwai, I think he requested a long, long time ago.
That's a song lyric in a Billy Joel song, isn't it?
No.
Bridge Over River Kwai.
Hey, it doesn't matter what movies we do.
Whatever we do.
Is going to be right here. Finding Christ in Cinema is... No, it's not. Not this Thursday. But I'm going to say it anyway. We're live in the GCT Network studio each Thursday. Oh, there's our caveat. Lord willing, at around 4 p.m. Eastern Time. Join us for live video and especially chat using the chat room and video player at gctnetwork.com/live.
Whoa.
Finding Christ in Cinema is part of the Great Commission Transmission Network, a listener-supported ministry using new media and social networking to equip and encourage you to go into all the world and proclaim the good news to everyone. To find out more and to partner with us, visit us at gctnetwork.com/donate. To witness the firepower of this fully armed and operational digital ministry, including all 106 episodes of Finding Christ in Cinema, Brendan's Monday Movie Review, and links to our social media profiles, visit our website at christincinema.com. Send all email to fcc@gctnetwork.com.
You can call us up on the voice line at 507-407-GCTN.
Great Scott!
Or our brand new, never been used before, backup number at
507-407-4286. It's a manhouse!
Thank you, Charles. Now, let's say you want to listen to the
voicemail.
To the voice line. Let's say you want to listen to the good old podcast.
I do.
I thought you would.
Yeah.
You can go to Stitcher.
Yes.
You can go to iTunes.
Uh-huh.
You can go to TuneIn Radio.
Yeah.
But if you don't like those three wombats.
No, not those three wombats. No way.
You can go to Google Play Music.
Doug is the opposite of friendly. He's unfriendly.
And it doesn't matter if you live in San Francisco.
San Francisco. I don't think I have that clip anymore.
Which is fun to say.
Oh, yeah.
Francisco, that's fun to say.
I thought you did. Or
these are dark times.
If you live in dark times, or if the air got to it.
I thought she was talking in tongues or something.
The air got to it!
You can just go to iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and Google Play Music. Search them all for Finding Christ in Cinema.
He chose...
poorly.
And for all the shows that we produce here at the Great Commission Transmission Network, including our brothers in Texas, the Theonauts! Oh, remind me to do that after the show. Get over to our official website at gctnetwork.com. Mr. Brendan Taylor, anything else?
It was tied to an Advil?
What a bunch of hippy-dippy
sentimental hogwash.
No.
Laugh it up, fuzzball.
It's a trap.
And that is a wrap.
Shocking.
Oh, yes, it is.
I like to whisper, too.
I just like to smile. Smiling's my favorite.
Yeah.
These are dark times.
I thought she was talking in tongues or something.
But most importantly,
life isn't some cartoon musical where you sing a little song and your insipid dreams magically come true.
You are tuned in to the GCT Network.
This is your Great Commission. This is your Great Commission transmission.
At gctnetwork.com.
This is your Great Commission transmission.